Well, good morning, and yes, there will be somebody else up here in a moment. Rochelle, you did a great job of stretching this a little bit. Yeah, Chris will be joining me here in a little bit. There was something that came up beyond his control, and so he is running a bit late this morning, but he will be here because it's important what he's going to be sharing with us. I want to encourage you today to not check out at any point, but to listen carefully about what we're going to talk about this morning, because what we're going to talk about, it's necessary that we bring up the subject that we're going to be talking about. Part of that is because the subject is very, very important, and the truth is we just haven't talked enough about it here at NEC, and we are going to change that. You're going to be hearing more and more about this subject as we move through the year. But I want to set a platform for which Chris is going to be speaking to us about some questions I'll be asking him that are going to be very informative, but also put you in a place to understand how important the subject is. The question this morning is, why is Romans 10:17 so important? The answer to that question is missionaries. Missionaries are important. Now, you could be called to be a missionary here in the United States, and I'm telling you, there's places in the United States we need missionaries. you could, but we're going to spend our time today talking about across the borders of the United States. We have missions that we do locally. We have missions that we do statewide and nationwide here at NEC, and we will be talking about those through the year. But today we're going to talk about the missions that happen outside our borders. And we're going to land on one particular mission that is a part of the NEC family of missionaries that we support here at the church. We have the Peters who are in Africa that we support. We have the Borgeses. Many of you know Laura. She came and was a part of us when we were portable from the beginning and was our first missionary out of the church. Her and her husband are missionaries to Brazil, the Philippines, and Africa. They minister in those two other places. They leave the borders of Brazil and go to Philippines, and they go to Africa. Then we have the late Leonard Jones and his wife, who had the orphanage in Honduras. And they are reorganizing and getting ready, and we're waiting to hear back from them on how all that's going to be. But we're going to land on and focus on the Zona Maya this morning. And so this is an important day for me as a pastor for you to be informed in a brand new, fresh way of what we're doing in the mission field and supporting our missionaries. Romans 10, verse 17 and 18 say, "So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message?" We can get to a point where we become disconnected from truth. And the truth is, not everybody in America has heard the gospel yet. I meet teens, hear about teens that don't even know who Jesus is. You say, no way in America. Yes, in America. So the reality is we have to ask the question, has everybody heard the gospel yet? No. And so missionaries are very, very important. Missions within our own country, the missions that we cover, are very, very important. And I'm going to give you several pin truths based on these scriptures. The first one is missionaries do what they do to spread God's truth to the whole world. Their mission and vision is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world where we may not be called to go. They are not doing this for fame and fortune. The ones we have aren't. They're doing mission work because they care about souls that are going to hell. And so we're going to talk about some of that mission work that's happening. And before I go to the next verse of scripture, Chris, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
The old saying, it's better late than never, right?
Most of the time,
yeah. Before we go any further, Chris has a special word and greeting that he wants to give to all of you who are across the border watching this morning.
And that means none of you out there, because you won't get it. No solo quiero decir hola a todos mis amigos en México y bienvenido a nuestro servicio. Los amamos y extrañamos. Y Dios te bendiga, ustedes y toda la familia de nosotros que está ahí en México. Y siempre estamos juntos en el Espíritu. Amén.
Amen. And you can get out your translation books and look at that up later. But we do have a large group
Please
watching.
Please don't, then you'll see where I messed up.
We do have a large group watching us from across the border this morning. So hello and welcome to the service. I'm going to read from Matthew 28, familiar verse of Scripture, verses 19 and 20, part of verse 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Another pen truth. Missionaries' main reason for leaving their homes and families. Now, we need to remember what they've given up that we have not had to give up. Their homes and families. You say, well, I thought they took their families with them. Well, they're not with you. They don't get to do what we do. We're going to get to hang out with our granddaughters, our daughter and granddaughter this afternoon. They don't get to do that when they're in the field. Leaving their homes and families for foreign countries is to preach the gospel. That's their whole reason, is to preach the gospel. 3 John 7 and 8, for they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. Now, in the world we live in, that's a bit different than the Scripture is, that there are people who will find what they believe is good works, or they believe is someone doing a good thing, and you will have unbelievers give. But they are an absolute minority, almost non-existent in giving in the mission field to true missionaries. So our pen truth about that is, as a church, we must support our missionaries so that we can be fellow workers for the spreading of the gospel truth. Fellow workers. Your giving puts you there. Your non-giving keeps you here. I like that. We need to hear that, don't we? Yeah. Your giving puts you there. Your non-giving keeps you here. I want to be there. How about you? I want to be there. John, I'm hearing a ringing up here. I know you're probably hearing it too. Okay, good. So we need to be thinking forward about not only giving our tithes and offerings, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but we need to be thinking about where those tithes are going, where those offerings are going, and is God asking you to do even more? Because we get to stay here while they're there. We know they're called. But I know lots of people who have never yielded to the call because they don't want to be there. But that's where God wants them to be, and that's where they would be most blessed. So we need to be supporting those who have answered the call. Amen? We need to be doing that. We need to support them and be fellow workers. And then Romans 10:14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Say that again. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? To me, that's one of those, you said this morning, Caleb, about wreck us, that's a wreck me verse here in America. Because I meet people that don't know who Jesus is. Can you imagine going through your life and nobody really, really communicating to you who Jesus is? I think we've got to step it up as believers. The pin truth there is, how will people hear unless someone is out there preaching the Word of God to them? Remember what preaching is? It's not on this platform being loud. What is preaching? The true definition of preaching is presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you get up and share Scripture and share about Jesus, you've just preached wherever you are. But you need to add some teaching to that and teach them about what you just said, because they don't know probably what you just said. So you're going to have to inform them and teach them. But preaching is the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's got to be more of that here in America. Because really, my heart is aching over hearing teens that are being incredibly honest with us and saying, "Who's Jesus?" Folks, that's got to change. And guess what the missionaries are doing? They're out there bringing Jesus to those who don't know Him. And then Philippians 4, 16 and 17, "Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness." And here's what I'm going to drill down about giving. Pin truth. God will bless you, as I have found in extraordinary ways, as you are faithful to tithe and give offerings. God will do amazing extra stuff that you never even thought about when you tithe and when you give offerings, because here at NEC, we're going to give to our missionaries. And to try to figure out and weave through the Scriptures saying, "I don't have to tithe," we need to have a conversation. I'll meet with you. Because one of the things that you're missing out on is being a part of being there in the mission field, supporting our missionaries. It's very, very important that we're a part of that. And your tithes and offerings help us do that. And that makes you a part of that out there. So a special note this morning. We support our missionaries by believing in the importance and urgency of missions, trusting God will use them to change the world for Jesus. Chris, I've lost track of the years. It's been a lot of years, more than a decade, that you have been spending time in the zone of Maya, where my brother and Flora are, but not just in Senor. You've been all over the zone of Maya. You've done more than just go on trips. You have literally left everything and gone down there and lived for months, sometimes over half a year in the area and longer, more than once. Matter of fact, I know you're hungry to do that again. And so we are giving because we believe God's going to use them to change the world. So I would like for you to share with everybody what you have seen, boots on the ground, being there more than 10 days like Gary and I are, or 14 maximum. You've been there and you've lived in different villages, you've lived in different towns throughout the zone of Maya, working with pastors, working with the things that are going on that are connected with Roy and Flora's ministry and the giving that's happening here. Share with everybody how they're changing the world and what and how our part in that is, because knowing what the changes are, we're a part of those changes.
Yeah, for sure. The optics definitely change the more time you spend down there. Going on week trips is great, and I encourage everybody, if that's on your heart to do, then do it. I'm not promoting one way or the other, but the main thing is, like Pastor Corey was talking about, is, what you're called to do, who you're called to be, and to be that person. Whether it's here or there, we're all connected, and we all are part of one body. But the more time you spend in a country with a people group, or a mixed people group even, you begin to see different facets of life and how different it is, but then at the same time how similar it is, because we're all people. And sometimes I think we let the differences get in the way of thinking, well, I've got to be something super special, or God's got to do something really crazy with me to be able to use me in somewhere else. But like, one of the biggest revelations I had being there was how the same problems they have is the same problems we have. it's just on a different scale. And there's different nuances to things, and some of the issues are different, but the root of the matters is all the same. And it all goes back to, at the end of the day, we all need Jesus. We're all created by God for a relationship with Him to take care of this earth that He's given us, you know, and to prepare a place for Him to come back, of people to come back for. And so, in the very simple terms, you think about like what we do here, and we talk about reaching out and getting people into church, or just being a light in our workplace, or in our social events, or the different like groups that Pastor Corey's involved with in the cities and different things. And it's really the same thing. It's just somewhere else. And but the deal, like what he was saying, is like, who is going to hear if nobody tells them? And so, like, when you get the missionaries out there, you do have those groups that support good works, whether they be churches or outside companies that want to have a hand in nonprofits, you know. I'll have to say, and this is not shade on anybody, but nonprofit does not necessarily mean Jesus pushing. And you can have a lot of projects, and you can have... And again, if I step on anybody's toes, I apologize. You know, God can thump me later. He usually does. But you can go back, or you can take turns with other churches and send a team and paint the same wall a different color of paint 3 times a year if you want, and feel good and come back home. And that's fine. Like, it all needs to be done. And God, you know, I was a part of some of those trips to get me where I got. So anywhere in the process that you're moving forward with the Father is where you're supposed to be. Like, don't ever despise any little part that you have in anything that you do. But the people who are out there, like Rory and Flora, and we're going to pick on them mainly because that's who I've been involved with the most. It is not about getting themselves out there, like he was saying. They're not looking for fame and fortune or a TV spot or... you know, looking to build them a big fancy hotel house out there. Everything that they have has gotten and is getting used and will be getting used for the kingdom. And you go down there and they've seen the house, and some of the other people have been down there. You know, Gary's seen it. And it's an amazing place for about a week. But when you live there long term, everything gets a little more uncomfortable the longer you stay there. The heat, yeah, oh, this is great, surfing for the Lord. Yeah, tell me that in about 2 weeks when the power goes out. There ain't no water, you know, and there's no air conditioning anyway, but now the fans don't work, you know. But maintaining your smile through that and maintaining the witness of who Jesus is to you, who the Father is to you, and what he's done in your life, is it real? You're going to find out. I found out, you know, and the thing that stands out is that you go down there and you just do life. Yeah, you get to get up on the stage and you get to preach and share, but what happens when we all leave that building? The places that Rory and Flora, the stuff that Rory's done. Now, Flora, she's a special case. She's an amazing woman, and I try to give her as much credit as I possibly can, because sometimes we tend to overlook that because she's from there. But she's come out and gone back, and that's a big deal. But the stuff that I've seen Rory do, which I can relate to him because I'm just like Corey and the rest of y'all, I'm from here. The work that he's done, the places that he's been, the stuff that I try to emulate when I'm out on the field, when I get those opportunities, is to be with the people and get them. You sit where they sit. You eat what they eat. You sleep where they sleep. You work where they work. You smile when they smile, and you cry when they cry. You know, you become, your heart becomes melded with theirs. And then the questions start. Why? Who is, yeah, we all go to church, but why are you different? And the only reason I'm different than anybody, if I am different, is because anything good that God did in my life, of Jesus doing a work in me. Because, like, if it was just my own volition, I wouldn't go down there and choose things that are painful and suffering just to do it and get nothing out of it. But when you see a people who are a hard-faced people and they begin to change, they begin to smile, you see life come alive, and then you see kindness start moving among the people that you had nothing to do with. But it was a movement that started with you because you said yes when the Lord went. And that's what Roy and Flora and many like them do. And that's what I love being able to go is I try to find the people who are spending that time, their lives, the local pastors, the missionaries who are there long term, and try to, I guess we're going to be biblical since we're in church, you know, like when Aaron and Joshua held up Moses' hands and during that battle. Somebody's got to hold the arms up sometimes of the people who are doing the long-term work. And when they come back from that long-term work, what happens? Well, most of the time, the people who are supporting want reports. They want, you know, we got to hear. You got to get you up there. And they're pulling from instead of pouring into and sending back out. You know, and when they're out there, all they're doing is pouring out. And then when teams go down there, they pour into the teams that are supposed to go and pour into them, you know. But the changing of the culture, and when you have, it becomes real sometimes when certain times of the year you have these groups of people walk down the road by your house and they're carrying little idols with them to take them out in the jungle and do their little things with. You know, or like, well, my kid's sick, so I went over to the, lack of better terms, the witch doctor here in town. And or the medicine man, and have them do something because all I know is my kid's sick. So that's where they go because that's what's in their culture. But then over time, we've seen through the faithfulness of Roy and Flora and many people, and the faithfulness of God through us, is healings happen and people starting to turn to the Lord instead of the witch doctors, the medicine men, the old idols that are carved of wood. They do nothing, you know. But then, like, does our God do anything? Well, obviously, we can say yes. But how do they know that? Well, it's through living in the everyday life, like Roy and Flora do, that you begin to see the changes, the smiles, the hatred melt away. Like, you can tell a difference between somebody who's a member of the church and a believer and somebody who's just from the village, you know. And because they're full of life and they're smiling and they're friendly, and these people over here, they'll chunk a rock at you. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about a big rock. You know, but I know that may not be the exact answer you was looking for, may elaborate a little too much on that, but.
The rocks are real. Yeah, no, they
are.
They do happen, yeah.
Now, I've got a couple of scars. But, I mean, really, it's the. We're doing the same thing, just in a different place. And like when I first spoke, you know, I greeted our friends down there in Spanish. When I first went down there, I was 16, and that's what it was like. Except everybody was talking that, and I was like, I didn't know anything.
Let me pause there for a second. He's talking about 16. I used to take teams into the Yucatan way back, and Chris was in high school. And Tiffany went, and some others went with us. And all four of my kids have been to the Yucatan jungle. And Chris was in that first group, along with his dad and some others. And I could tell that God was doing something with Chris while we were there. So when I started hearing he was going back, I wasn't surprised. Because God touched him when he was a teenager. Go ahead, Chris.
I was lucky, you know, God's faithful, and he's used those people in that place in me just as much or more than he's used me in those people, you know, and when you're called to do something, you're called to do something, but just because we're called to be. Now, sometimes we're called to go. Sometimes that's just for a time. Sometimes it's a longer time. But if you look in, like in the Bible, the disciples and the believers, they were sent by the Holy Spirit here, or the Holy Spirit kept them from going over here for this time. You know, but who they were never changed. And so, like, if I'm called to be a specific person on the mission field, then I'm supposed to be that same person here. Because the calling of who we are never changes.
That's good.
It's just the calling of where we're sent. So it's like, if you think about the military, you know, Colin was in the Marines. Like, a Marine is a Marine is a Marine. And whenever you send a Marine somewhere, you send them there to be a Marine. You don't send them there to be something else and then come back. Like, when you're trying to send in the Peace Corps, you don't send the Marine Corps. You know, I mean, it's just, it's a little different. But anywhere you send the Marines, you're expecting the Marines to act like Marines. And so anywhere he sends us, he's expecting us to be who he made us to be, whether that's here or there.
That's good.
And so that if you think about that, that can demysticize some of the calling, the special calling we think missionaries have. And they do. I'm not trying to downplay that. But the thing is, every calling of God is of equal value, because every calling of God is wrapped up in your identity. And who you are does not change, because the Lord never changes. So if he's the same today, then he's the same here. And if he's the same yesterday, then he's the same there. So it doesn't matter where we're at. We're called to be who we are. And then when we're faithful, I call it the in-between. And this is where I think most of us, and I say that because of myself, this is where I fail the most, is the in-between times. It's easy to say yes when God brings something big and you know it's the Lord. Like when Gideon, angel shows up, what are you going to do? Like, there's an angel standing there, and you're like, nah, I'm good, you know. Which a couple of them tried that, you know, but it never really works out for you. So you kind of know, and we're in the church, and we're believing, you know, so it's like, you know, when the Lord shows up big time, it's like, oh, he's here. He's going to handle it, so I just need to say yes and do it. Okay, well, that's easy for us to say, but what about the in-between times when there's not necessarily a big leading of the Holy Spirit, but we have the instruction in how to be and how to live? That way, a Marine maintains their training so that they're ready to be sent at a moment's notice. But if a Marine's not training, they're not going to send them, because they're not a Marine. Because a Marine maintains their fitness while they're in, while they're in their service. And so if we're in our service of the Lord, then who we are is who he's going to send. But if I'm not being anybody, he's not going to send me. So I guess I might need to look at that, because I hadn't gone in a while.
But you bring up a good point that we can't fall back on and say, well, I'm just not going to be, so I don't get sent. Because there will be a moment when the Father says, why didn't you get prepared? He will. He's going to ask you, why did you hide out instead of stand out? Are we all called to stand out? The Bible's clear about that. So we're supposed to, that's a good point, Chris. Chris, would you, that's all good. I like that. I'd like, man, we need to hear more of that. Would you share with us, I'm thinking of one particular person. I just love him. Maybe it's because he makes me look like I'm 6'5". But would you share with us the impact and the change to the world in which Roberto lives, and what's happening in that village? Because I was there when all the sound equipment, and John, don't get too tore up about this, was out in the weather, covered in dirt, and been rained upon, and I'm surprised it turned on, to what's happening today, but kind of step back of what he faced and the impact that Zone of Mind Ministries had in the world changing in that village.
Yeah, Roberto is a pastor partner of ours in a village called Campo Coche, which is not too far but not too close from the village we're at. It's a lot closer now because there's more paved roads than there used to be, so it's a lot quicker to get there. But he was putting in the work, you know, while we were at McDonald's. And he's this little dude, and he really does make you feel like you're really big, and it's kind of awesome until you break all their chairs when you sit in them, you know? Or you pull down their houses when you sit in their hammock, and it just. Yeah. I'm kind of on the wall of fame down there, or shame, I guess, for some of that. You know, I think I've got like a couch, 8 chairs, and 2 hammocks that I broke just by sitting down. It's awesome, And yet it endears you to the people, so it's great. You know, I can go down there and break stuff and like, oh, you're awesome. I was like, thanks. But Roberto has been there working with his family, I mean, faithful. And this is a place where, like, when you have a field every year in their farm, the witch doctors come and they do a blessing in what they understand to be a blessing. And they make an offering to the spirits to protect their fields from predators or from bad crops or from, you know, whatever. And Roberto found the Lord and felt like he was called to God to start a church in this little deal. And it, when they start a church, it's literally like he gets up and starts preaching to his wife and kids. They build a little hut and they call it a church. And then like his wife and kids are the members of the church. And that becomes their faithful service. And every week they're doing the same thing. And then maybe, you know, a few months go by or even a year, you know, mom and dad will start coming because they got to support their kid, you know. And so literally sometimes these churches that get started are just the families. And that's what they do. And everybody else is looking at them like they're nuts, you know. And maybe they are. But we are too. I mean, comparatively. And so they're struggling along, and then somehow, out of the blue, you know, God calls Rory and Flora, right? And they go down there, and they're working in a place so close yet so far because they don't know about each other. And then God brings them together. And then through partners like through us here at the church that give, things start happening little by little. And it's crazy because the way it happens and how slow it happens down there, people up here would give up and go away because they think God abandoned them in their call. Because maybe you'll put some walls up on a church, but it doesn't have a roof or a floor. And it may be that way for like a couple of years. Well, up here, that would cause the ministry to crumble. People to go home and find another church to go to that has, you know, cool lights and stuff. But they keep meeting. Like, no, God has called me to do this. And then through partnership with Zona Maya Ministries, Roy and Flora, and, you know, NEC, and other partners that are out there, little by little, through their faithfulness, when the time is right, God releases the resources and brings other partners around, and things begin to happen and go up. And then all of a sudden, your sound equipment isn't sitting outside. It's sitting under a leaf roof, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is.
That's a major deal.
Yeah. And then maybe one day a concrete roof. But the thing is, it's not about the structure. It's about the people. And they don't care where they meet as long as they can meet and serve the Lord and encourage each other and then go out and live their life. Because they've still got to live their life. They don't make a business out of being a pastor. No offense. But, I mean, now, like, Roberto, the church can't support him. He has to work and be a pastor. He has to work and build the church and be a dad. They don't cut him any slack because he's a pastor. Like, okay, well, you know, you're doing this. You're serving the Lord. Well, that's great, but I also need you to get out there and cut the corn, you know. It's different. That's the thing where, like, it's the same, but it's different, like we were talking about. And so the partnership between God's people here through the bridge ministries of like Zona Maya Ministry, partnering with Roberto in the middle of a jungle that he has no clue that this place even existed other than TV, is now building a church that they can meet and people are coming, and now the places are full. It's not just his family anymore. It's his extended family. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's other people who stumble in drunk. It's happened several times. And some of them sober up, some of them go away, some of them come back. But all that's happening because of their faithfulness in partnership with God's people. And that's only possible because we're saying yes because of where we're at. Maybe we can't go out there. I can't be down there as much as I've wanted to be. What can I do? Just because I'm not there, has my call gone away? Well, if I can't be there physically, what can I do? I can be there with Roaring Flora through helping them. They have needs. They've got to live on top of spreading the word. Who's going to pay them? They get drained just like we do. It's just a different kind of draining. And on top of that, they're spreading the word, so there's attacks from the enemy that I may not face because all I'm doing is swinging a hammer. But then when my money starts going to supporting those people, I may be getting some attacks I didn't have before. But we don't think about a lot of that because it's easy to get encapsulated up here. But lives really do get changed. And there's second and third generations now coming up in the church from these partnerships that we've had. These guys who had their families as their church, their kids are now growing up and taking the mantle and spreading out to other places, other churches. So there's multiplication within the family. You know, and that is what's happening. And it's a slow generational deal, right? Well, everything happens slow. We all want it right now. But real change happens slow. Sometimes. I mean, God, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say what God can and can't do. But we can't look for just the Billy Graham football stadiums full. We got to be willing to go out there. And like something Rory always says is he calls us a in the cracks ministry. Because there's a lot of people who can use the sidewalks to get to those places, to the football stadiums. But what about the people in the cracks that never make it to those places? That don't even know there is a God to seek for? What if you don't even speak their language? Because I may speak some Spanish, but what about Mayan? When you go back in the jungle and they don't really speak Spanish that well. But then you start living in a way to where even though you can't talk, you're communicating love and respect, and I'm trying to learn from them, and they begin to wonder why. Because I'm from the great America. I'm rich. Why am I here caring about what they're doing? Why is Roy and Flora giving their lives down there? And so it makes them curious. And what does the Bible say? If you seek, you will find. So we make seekers. We cause people to become curious. And when you become curious, you ask questions. And then that opens a door because then I'm not giving you anything. You're asking me for something. And that means I've done a part of I'm not trying to push nothing. Now the overflow of my life has caused you, has provoked you to curiosity. And now I'm able to share with you what has made that change in me. Right. So then it kind of takes you out of the equation because it's like the only reason I'm here is because of the love of God and the love that he has for you, which is the same love that he had for me, which led me here out of his love for you. Right. So it had nothing to do with me. You know, it takes me. It's like it's not America. It's not the great white savior. It's none of that stuff. It's that there's a God who loves all his people. And aside from political views, aside from racial lines, we go where we're sent. And we be who we are in whatever place we're at.
Amen. Chris, that's good. With a little bit of time we've got left, I'd like for you to... Pedro was here and greeted everyone. Roberto, we have helped... NEC's helped him build his church from that falling down palapa with all the sound systems and speakers covered in dirt and sand when I got there that day, to now they're building a cinder block church. They've finally covered, like you said, they've got more palapa now where they cover everything, but they're building the cinder block church. You helped build the church in its beginnings in Tukul, where Pedro is. Would you kind of give a brief about what the city of Tukul is like and an update about what you experienced in building that church that NEC has been giving into?
Sure. Similar story, a little different. It's a metropolitan area, so it's a town, or not what we would think of a town, but it is down there. Pedro, which he was here and he greeted us, you know, a few weeks ago or a month ago, whatever it was. Again, a family started church, and then he had some elderly people who came out and started coming to the church, you know, and which is a big deal because it's heavy Catholic influence there in the towns especially. A lot of struggles with denominations because they want to control, and you have to be under a registration in Mexico in order to have a church, or it's illegal. But then you get under that control, and they want, you give them offering, they come, they preach, they take your people's money, and they leave. And then you can have a church.
We need to pause right there. We need to give God praise for being able to do what we do today here in America. Amen? Amen. We need to thank him for that. And we need to stand up and do the right things, too, to make sure it stays that way. So, yeah. Chris?
Yeah, it's a huge difference. But, you know, through partnership with, you know, Zona Maya and churches like ourselves here, we were able to buy a piece of land down there in Tikul. And, again, slow process of building. We got a metal structure up, just the frame. And I was there to help with some of that. Not huge parts, but any part is a, you know, part I'm grateful to be able to do. And we have a roof now. It's just a metal roof that covers the whole place, and they can meet underneath there. There's walls on the side, but it's kind of weird because they're property walls, so it's not actually walls of the church, but they serve as kind of walls because it keeps dogs and stuff out. We got a gate out front, and so there's a place to meet where there's a platform, but it's kind of similar to this, but it's hollow. There's no floor on it yet. It's just the concrete frame or the border. And we still have to – there's been lots of progress. I haven't been there in a couple of years, and I know there's been more done since I've been there. Like, I haven't seen those walls that I was just telling you all about, but I've seen the pictures and talked to Pastor Pedro and then Roy and Flora, obviously. But the place where that church is put is right in the middle of a bunch of stuff, a bunch of people, a neighborhood that they weren't in before. So they don't live right next to the church. But it's been a real blessing, and God is really setting the stage for something more to happen. And some of his kids has moved on to other towns. His daughter married a pastor's son that we're partnered with in Vital Lead, and now they're back over there leading that church and working with the other, with her husband's brother in that church, while Pedro and his wife are still in Tikul, you know, pushing that work.
Awesome. With the time, the few minutes we got left, in about the next 2 to 3 minutes, what would you want to leave all of us with today?
I think the biggest thing for me is the in-between and then the demysticizing of the difference between your calling and the calling of a missionary. You know, it's really about understanding who we are, who our Father is, and what our purpose is in life. And preparing to be who we're supposed to be and not worry about what he's going to call us to do. Because sometimes we get wrapped up in the calling of what to go do, that we're looking at what to go do and yet we're not prepared for anything, whether it be there or here. And, yeah, we do like to encourage giving, and that's not what I'm asking for today. I'm not going anywhere right now. It's not why we're up here. But there needs to be an understanding that who we are is who they are out there. But sometimes out there we can't do what we do here in order to make a living. And so, like, in order to do what we do here out there, like, we're saturated with churches here, are we not? Now, people still need Jesus. I'm not saying that. But out there, it's a little different than some of these other countries. So the Lord will lead you, but it's not about giving out of guilt. If we become who he made us to be, then he will lead us where to give, what to be a part of, who to partner with. And then you begin to see what we're doing as partnerships instead of giving. And then it's like, well, I can't go do that, so I'm going to give because, you know, I got to do something for God, so I'll, you know, here. It's like, no, when you're giving, it's not like those businesses and stuff that give to
nonprofits.
Yeah, nonprofits. You're giving when the intent of this is going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to maybe somebody who hadn't heard it. Right. Even if it's one. Even if you go to a village that they want to run you out with machetes, it's happened. But one person grabs a seed. One little kid becomes curious, and it opens a door.
That's right.
That's the purpose of the giving that we do.
That's right.
We're not giving to a nonprofit. If you're giving for a tax write-off, God will still use it. But when you give with the intent of furthering the gospel, reaching somebody that maybe would never hear the name Jesus.
That changes everything.
But your dollar got the missionary there.
That's right.
And it all comes back to, in between the big callings, are we saying yes to the little things that we don't even hear him asking? And then understanding that who you are is just as an important part in the chain as the missionary that's out there.
Yeah. Good word. He brought up something about machetes. Just want y'all to know that Gary didn't tell his wife everything that happened to us on one of our trips for a reason. But Gary stepped a little bit too far into a place we went into where they still do animal sacrifices with witch doctors and everything. And Gary just took about three steps too much, and they started coming out of the building where they were at. We didn't see anybody around with machetes in their hands, so it's very real. So if you ever go on a trip with me, you make sure you put the fear factor in. Leave it here, because you don't need to be going down there, because you don't know what you'll walk into. And that, you know, Roy said, Gary, we need to go. Gary looked up and said, yeah, we need to go. So yeah. We got in our little moto taxis, and we boogied out of that village. But that's how real of the stuff that Roy and Flora are facing. Do you get up and face that in the morning? Mm-hmm. So we need to be givers. We need to be tithers. We need to be givers. I like to say the third piece. We need to have a spirit of generosity. And that's when God really starts doing some amazing things, when we get beyond the norm there. So thank you, Chris. I appreciate you doing that. And Pastor Rochelle, thanks you for being a bit late, because she got to talk longer. So
Anything I can do to help.
Did you learn something today? We need to be impacted with truth. And he shared, man, if you didn't catch it, you said something about nuggets this morning. I heard a half a dozen nuggets that if we have ears to hear, we should be letting that stuff fall in and change our lives this morning. So thank you, Chris. Rachel.